And I've gone through, and these are the ones I didn't mention at the beginning of the other sermon, because there's so many of them. And you'll see there's 16 of them. Okay, and we're just going to touch on them. You don't have to write anything down, but what I want you to do, kids, I'll tell you, I want you to draw four pictures while we're doing this, okay? And I'll tell you when to draw them, okay? But the first one that you see is the... These are in alphabetical order, by the way. I really didn't know how else to sort them. They're not necessarily in any logical order. But many of us, we say, come up with the blank of life. You would probably, somewhere in the top five, say the book of life. I've heard of the book of life. And that's what's in your notes there. All of the references to the book of life are in Revelation except for one in Philippians. Philippians 4:3 says, "And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life." It's Biblio. That's where the book is. It's the word we get Bible from. Bible is just a transliterated word for book in the Greek. It's the Bible just means book. The Biblio Zoes. It's the book of life. That's the way that's translated. Let me read the Revelation ones. Kids, what I want you to draw in your notes is you have a little box. Flip that over on the front, Daniel, first. See the word book? Right below the word book, I want you to draw a book to the best of your ability, okay? Maybe I'll draw one up here so you can kind of look. But you can draw in like this. If you draw a line down and then one over like this, there's a book just like that. That's an open book, and you can add more to it if you want. Okay? And then even if you want, you can put lines in it. But it's the book of life. It might even be more of a scroll. We don't really know. But there's actually several books that God does. But if you draw a book there, let me read more. Okay? Revelation 3:5. "He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." This is a slightly... All the rest of them are this other same variation. There's the word "the" in the middle of it. Revelation 13:8. Listen to this one. "All who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." So there's the book of life again. Revelation 17:8. "The beast that you saw was and is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is." Okay, so that here's, again, another reference to the people not written in the book of life. Revelation 20, "And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things that were written in the books," plural. And then it goes on to say in Revelation 20:15, "And anyone not found written in the book," singular, "of life, was cast into the lake of fire." So the book of life seems, at least in some instances, to be a record of those that are saved. Okay? Revelation 21:27, "But there shall by no means enter into it," the New Jerusalem, "anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life." So here it's modified with the Lamb's book of life. It's the book of life of the Lamb, literally. So you got your book drawn there. Number two is bread. Do you have enough room? Do you have an extra set of notes? I'm using an expanded version so I can see the space there. So you have the book. You have room for bread on here. Okay, you got to do it small, but under bread, you can make bread one of two ways, okay? You can either make like a curve like this, and then like a square underneath it. It looks like a slice of bread.
Or you can just make a bread loaf like this. It looks like a long one there. So, okay. And if you're really hungry, you can put some jam on your bread. Okay? Three times, and this is in John 6, Jesus specifically uses the phrase bread of life. He uses the term bread more, but not in that phrase. It's just used three times. Jesus said to them in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. John 6:48, I am the bread of life, Jesus says. John 6:51, I am the living bread. So it's kind of like the bread which is living here. Okay, so it's a slightly different change on that. But Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. What does that seem to indicate? I think that would tie in very closely to what we talked about today, that Jesus is the origin of life. He's the source of life. He's the sustenance of life. Okay? Jesus is the essence of what it takes to stay alive. And I think he's talking about spiritual life here again. Okay, the next one, kids, I won't have you draw anything about, but there one place it says here, it's the breath of life. Now after 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them. What would that be talking about? What we talked about earlier today. When we talk about what kind of realm of life would that be? The breath of life came back into them. What would that be? Is it talking about eternal life? Physical life. These are the two prophets that are killed and then they're brought back to life in the tribulation period. The breath of life comes back into them. Let me write something down real quick here. Just for later on, I'll bring this up so you'll see it. But I won't comment on it now, then I'll write it down here. Different color just so it... That's the word that's translated. Pneuma. Pneuma. We get pneumatics. You got any pneumatic tools, Jim? They run off an air compressor. A pneumatic, okay? Pneumatic mattress? Not pneumatic, but, you know, it's an air mattress or whatever. Pneumonia, right? It affects your lungs, your breathing, okay? So that's where that comes from. Okay, number four. I should be writing all these words because a lot of these are good. This is the crown. Do you have the word crown there, kids? Do you know how to make a crown? I'm going to tell you how to make a different crown, okay? Because this one's different than what you think of. What I want you to do is make a circle here, just like that, and then put leaves on it. You can color the leaves in if you want, but just leaves, okay? Why is that? Because this is a different kind of crown. Let me write out the crown name here. Get a different color here. You might recognize this. Okay? That's where the name Stephen comes from. Stephanus. Okay? The crown. And it's talking about the crown is in a wreath. The laurel that someone would get, it's a recognition of accomplishment. It's not a crown of rulership. That would be a diadem, is what that's crown, you know, bring forth the royal diadem. That's the golden crown that a king would wear. This is a crown, a Stephanus, that an athlete would win at the Olympics back when. It's a crown of accomplishment. Of reward. It's a status. Okay? The crown itself was worth nothing. The recognition was worth everything. Okay, here's the crown. James 1, it talks about the crown of life. James 1:12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life. The Stephanus taste Zoes, the Stephanus of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. And it seems to tie in resisting temptation or enduring difficulty with loving God. Okay, The crown of life phrase is used also in Revelation 20:10. Do not fear any of those things which you're about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Again, the crown of life seems to be tied in with suffering for God. Not just suffering, but suffering for God. Okay, did you get your crown drawn there? Okay. The next one, you don't have to draw anything, but it talks about in 1 Peter 3:7, the grace of life. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. I don't know what this means for sure. Some people say one thing, some people say another. It's either one of two things. The grace of life could mean that you're both have received salvation, life, and you're inheritors together of that life. Or it could mean that you are husband and wife and you've been able to bear children, the grace of life that way. Okay? Since it's not used any other place, it's hard to know for sure. But either way, the both are true. Okay? So, either way, both are true. But that's the grace. You've been being heirs together of the grace of life. I probably lean more toward the eternal life idea here in this verse. Number 6, we're going to talk about this when I get back. John 8:12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. One of the key things that you can see throughout this is all the things that are contrasted with life. You have death, darkness, dead, condemnation, perish, all of these things that are contrasted. No one had time to even develop that here. But kids, if you want to do light, you don't have very much space, but you could probably draw a light bulb there like this, okay? You draw like a tube, and then you get a little bit down here, and then you put some lines through, and it looks like a light bulb. And if you want to keep going, you can put a little line there, and then if you want, you can put this out like a light bulb, okay? You have little lines out on the outside to make it look like it's shining. Number 7, we read this one. Peter talks about this. You killed the Prince of Life. The Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. It's the only time that phrase is used. The Prince of Life. Okay? That's opposed to the Prince of Darkness or the Prince of this world, which are both references to the devil. Okay? Number 8. Nothing to draw here, kids, either. 2 Timothy 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God according to the promise of life. The word promise is used quite a bit, only once here in this phrase, but it's tied in with life quite a bit. The promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. Okay? So we have the promise. Number 9 is resurrection. John 5:29. Jesus says this, there'll be a resurrection for everyone. Some will come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life. Okay, the resurrection of life. And those who have done evil, notice, they'll still be resurrected, but it's called the resurrection of condemnation. So there's the resurrection of life. Resurrection of condemnation. Which one do you want to be part of? The resurrection of life, right? Okay. You do that by believing on Jesus as your Savior. Number 10, this is one I wanted to bring out. It says here, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, what I wanted to write here, I'm going to erase Stephanus here, is the word for breath was pneuma. The word for spirit is pneumatos. And by the way, that's the same word. It's just the way it's used, different endings, but it's the same word. This word can be translated air, breath, spirit, wind. So it depends upon the context. Okay? So the breath of life comes into these men. It sounds like it's physical, so that's why they put breath there. But here it's the spirit of life. Again, it's the context in which it's found. So I wanted to put that out there. So pneuma and pneumatos, the same word just used in a different context. Here's the next picture you can draw here. You ready for this one? I wish I had a better green, but I don't. So I'm going to use this one here. But this is the tree of life. Okay? I'll put this one up here. But you can draw a tree just like this. Two lines curved, and you might want to do like this. And then you can just put like cotton around the outside. And there you have a tree. The tree of life. This is mentioned several times. There's actually a similar tree mentioned in Ezekiel that actually will, in the millennium, there'll be a tree of life that grows by the river that's coming out of the temple. And it'll give fruit, a different fruit, every month, all year round. How do you like that? So there's the tree of life, and then there's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden, right? This is just the New Testament reference here. But Revelation 2:7, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Revelation, which apparently still exists somehow in some way. Revelation 22:2, in the middle of its streets, and on either side of the river was the tree of life. So there was multiple trees of life, if you will, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. So that's during the millennium. Revelation 22:14, blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. And Revelation 22:19, and if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away from his part from the book of life. It's interesting, but it's actually the tree of life here. It's only here in the King James. It's not in any Greek text at all. And there's a story behind it, but a guy translated from the Latin into Greek, which goofed up some stuff. But it's actually the tree of life here. It'll take a part out of the Greek word for tree is zoulon. I don't know if we use anything in English here, but you got your tree drawn? Okay, the next one here is the water of life. Now, I don't know how you want to draw your water, but you can just do this if you want. It looks like waves. Okay? And if you want it in a glass, you can just put it in like that or so the biggest scoop out of it. So the water of life. Revelation 21:6, and he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. I wonder if that's who the fountain of life that people used to pursue to find to live forever kind of thing, if they got that from the Bible. But Revelation 22:1, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Again, very similar to what it mentions in the book of Ezekiel. The Greek word for water is, it looks like this. It's the letter U-D-O-R. There's a hard breather, so it's hudor, and we get the word hydro from it. So a hydro power plant is a water-driven plant. Hydrated, if you're dehydrated, you don't have enough liquid or water. To hydrate is to drink water or liquid, okay? So that's where we get that. Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let him who hears say, come, and let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Now, the next one is waters. It's not directly. It's the upon the life fountains of water, living fountains of water. It's for the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to the living fountains of waters, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. So this is toward the end, but it's just fountains of waters, and they're living waters. What does living waters mean? Some people, it might be just a moving stream as opposed to placid or dead water, okay? Or it might have living potential that it actually gives you something that, kind of like the tree of life, it gives you something that enhances life or helps life or something. You don't really know. Ask me when we get to heaven, but then by then you'll know. Okay, too. So, number 14, ways. Acts 20:28. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. And that's actually a quote from the Old Testament, Acts 2:28. The next one, kids, and the last one you can draw, I think you have enough for this, is all I would say is this: holding forth the word of life. It's kind of like a book. You can do it this way. Make a square, and this will be the Bible, okay? And then if you want, you can angle it a little bit and make it look like the Bible a little more, okay? And you can, I don't know if you have room for the Bible, but holding forth the word of life. It says Philippians 2:16, holding fast the word of life so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ and I have not run in vain or labored in vain. By the way, this word is the word logos. It's the message. It's not a single word. It's the message. And it's also the word that's used for the, in the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God. That's the same word, logos. 1 John 1:1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. There it seems to be relating to Jesus himself. Notice it's capitalized there. And it ties in with John chapter 1. This is 1 John 1:1, and we looked at John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. Here is 1 John 1:1, and it talks about all these things, John says, we've heard, we've touched, we've seen, our hands have handled concerning the Word of life, and it seems to be a reference to Jesus. Okay? The last one here, there's nothing more to draw, but I just wanted to highlight this, is it uses the word words. Acts 5:20, go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. And this word for words is not logos here. It's a Greek word for, it looks like rhema. And this is an actual statement. So the statements of life. So it's actually not the, it's not, it's different only in the sense that the logos is, would be presented in many statements. It's like sentences in a sense. Ephesians 5 talks about the husband sanctifying his wife through the word. The washing of water by the word. Which one of these do you think it is? It's this one here. It's not having a Bible sitting on your table at home. It's speaking the words to your wife. It's applying the words. It's not having a Bible lesson nearly as much as it's saying, honey, the Bible says this. This is what we need to do. It's, honey, this is what the Bible says. This is what we've been taught. This is what we need to do. It's sanctifying her through the word. And it's the rhema. It's the spoken or applied word, as some people would call it. Okay, it's a little different there. So anyway, there's 16 matters, quote, of life, unquote, that you find in the Bible. That's just in the New Testament. Okay, and this is stuff that we won't even touch on other than what we've done here. As you can see, every one of these you can easily pick up and teach on for a long period of time because there's just so many different things. But that'll give you an idea. We can talk about the bread of life, the crown of, there's different crowns. The crown of righteousness is another one. The light is going to be huge. That's in this verse as well. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. That's going to be another whole challenge for me. But the tree of life, there's a lot to be said about that. The water of life, it seems to be actual physical water, but there's something more to it. It comes from the throne of God, and it will actually be water with some kind of extra quality. And also the word of life, which is the Bible, and also possibly Jesus himself. So, questions or comments? Did you get all your pictures drawn? Do you have enough space to draw those pictures? Good. So you probably drew them better than I did. So, too bad we didn't have color to use. So it would be fun. So. All right. Well, any questions or comments? There's probably 30 or 40 or maybe even 50 verses that speak of eternal life. Use those two phrases or two words himself in a phrase. It's amazing. Can I show you one more thing since we're a little ahead of time? This is what I've been studying for the last 4 weeks. Okay, more and more I keep adding to it. I have all the occurrences of the word life. And I keep going through and I have it in English and I have it in Greek. Okay, this is one way I study, and it's trying to understand the term and how it's used in all of Scripture. Because when it says, in him was life, it doesn't tell you much. So you have to figure it out by what it says from outside. So then I start color coding things of things that show up. But let me just show you this. This is a chart that tells you how many times the word is used in the Bible, in the different books of the Bible. John is at the top. Okay, it goes all the way across 32 times. But then you get different words that pop up. So the black are things that it's contrasted with. Green has to do with the word believe. Yellow is the word life in Greek, and also the word eternal. I put that. But I just want to show you the pages that are here, okay? Just keep looking. You have to study sometimes the passages because when it talks about you should cut off your hand or poke your eye out, it's better to enter into the kingdom of heaven maimed. Okay? Is that talking about salvation? Because if it is, do you want to go to heaven without eyes or hands? It doesn't seem to be talking about that directly. Okay? What is it talking about? Okay? Because as I understand it, we'll get our glorified bodies. See all these pages? Now you understand why it's taking so long and why I'm somewhat overwhelmed. Then I just have a quote in the back. But I've spent I don't know how many hours on this alone. And then I chopped out some of them for the study we just did, that quick study there. But that's just to give you an idea of how much there is. And these are just the verses, not the context of the verses. So sometimes that makes it hard too. But I've really enjoyed it. I wish I had lots more time just so I could study it, but there's so much to be had in the Word of God. And that's just the word life. You don't even want to go into the word light, which I don't think it occurs as much, but it's still, there's so much that the Bible says about both. But anyway, I enjoy studying the Word of God, and you have to chew on stuff like this in order to get your brain around it, even though there is no way in the world, like I said, this is the Amazon River just with one word. And there's no way to present anything close to that unless you make that your year-long study. And we just aren't going to be able to do that. So life is too short. But it's that infinite puzzle in any directions kind of thing. So, but anyway, you might just want to... I've sorted them by topic, basically, after I've gone through and marked them and all that. But it's very interesting. But there's a lot there that comes out. But it's like the Amazon River. Okay, when you talk about the Amazon River, you're talking about the trees, the water, where it comes from, what the tributaries are, what the kind of fish they're in, who lives beside them, blah, blah, on and on and on and on. So it's an amazing, amazing study. Any study like that in the Bible like that. But some words only occur once. This word does not, and it's a very important word. So
Anyway, let's all stand and let's close in a word of prayer.